Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hi, this is Anna Hope, and I'm here with Alan Aldridge for Porch Talk. This song is called Eden. I hope you have a good day.
You didn't mean it when you said it. Quite the way. Why forget it? That one line started out. I'm trying to change your life over here, but my favorite band is fucking up. Just take the exit in Eden. The door is unlocked. Doors unlocked. No, I'm not that good at asking for the things I need the most. When the hurricane starts turning, my fake friends, they turn to ghosts. Hope you have a good day. The day became a daily lifeline. Somehow the guy on the radio became a friend of mine. A friend of mine. Daily refrain.
We are in there. All right, welcome you to Porch Talk. We're in Birmingham, Alabama at Oh Elegante Studios.
Oof.
How about that? Anna, it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thank you for sharing some songs. And so earlier tonight, you were at the Nick, right?
I was. I had a blast. It was fun.
Tell me a little bit about the what are they calling it? The happy hour?
Yeah, they do this whole free happy hour show on Sundays now. That's really fun, from 5 to 7. Several of my friends have done it. Katie Mulvihill did it. Ham Bagby. I can't remember the whole list now, but yeah. Now I've gotten to do it, and it was a blast. Today was a little funky because we had the whole potential winter weather advisory thing happening today.
It was weird. It was like Meridian was having snow, and then they're saying Montgomery's going to have snow, and it was like, we're north of there.
I'm like, we're not going to have snow. There was a whole conversation sitting there at the bar about bread and milk and whether or not James Spann has stock in Barbers and Nature's Valley. I'm just like, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing. If you're from the South, you know exactly what that means. It's go get bread, milk. Some would even throw eggs in there.
You know, if you throw eggs in there, then at least you're having French toast and you're not just having, like, milk sandwiches.
There you go. And this is also a cool episode because this is about as ginger as you could possibly get.
It's so ginger.
This has happened, like, 2 times before. And,
has it?
Yeah, and it's almost
weird.
It's almost too much energy.
It's a lot of energy.
Yeah. And so, let me ask you this. Did you watch South Park when you were growing up?
I wasn't allowed.
So, I really wasn't allowed either, but I was well aware of the joke because I had to go to school with my peers.
What's the joke?
It's a ginger have no souls.
Okay, no, okay. That's not a South Park joke. That's not a solely South Park thing. That is culturally, just gingers in general, they believe we don't have souls.
And so this is
or
an episode to dispel
we consume
that.
Them.
Yeah, that's the thing.
In some way.
Yeah. So we're here to dispel that. That's one
we
of the missions.
We don't eat souls.
Yeah.
No, we give energy. That's what we do.
And this is pop culture's all get out. And I do not believe him. He's Ed Sheeran. So did you see this article?
This is
so ridiculous.
It's like, I adore him,
that's,
but that, I did see
the,
it.
The South Park joke. It ruined my life. And I was like, okay, Mr. Millionaire. Yeah, life is ruined. God is so hard on you.
Hi.
But I'm sure you caught some of it growing up, too.
For sure. Well, for me, it was more of the redheaded stepchild jokes.
I had a lot of that, too.
Yeah, because I was the 5th of 6 kids, and only 2 of us were redheads. And so whenever we stepped out of line, we got the redheaded stepchild jokes.
I guess, so I have an older brother. It's just 2 of us. And so my brother looks like he belongs to the family.
Right, and you don't because ginger.
Yeah, and it's so both my grandfathers on both sides are redheaded. And so it skips a generation. And then
it does.
It all went to
it
me.
It does. It's a recessive gene. People don't know that.
Yeah, and so I caught every bit of it, and so like just looking at family pictures and stuff, and there I am, and it's like, yeah, I can kind of see.
It's so funny to me, because I have 4 kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people will look at my kids, and they're like, oh, you didn't even get 1 redhead? And I'm like, it's a recessive gene.
Yeah.
I was never going to get a redhead. It was genetically impossible. It was mathematically impossible. I was never going to get one.
Yeah.
All my children are beautiful and wonderful, and I love them so
just
much.
Redheads.
But none of them are going to be redheads. But one of them, maybe someday, might give me one.
There you go. So tell me a little bit about you. Growing up, where are you from?
Oh, that's a long story. Birmingham, I guess, is the easy answer.
Okay, we're not going for easy here.
But the the extended answer is that I spent some time growing up in Vandiver, Alabama, which is down 280, and like if you know where Childersburg, Harpersville, mm-hmm. those places are, it's in that general area. If you know where Vincent is,
okay.
I grew up going to Vincent Elementary School, but I grew up in a place that. Back in the day, my people would have referred to as the In the Flesh, Psalm 23. We had the pasture, we had the lake, we had the forest. It was the place, you know. We were very, very happy there, and we came there not because it was our place, but because we got flooded out of a parsonage that we grew up in.
Okay, so dad's pasture?
No. Before the pasture, we got flooded out of a place that we were in because I'm the fifth child of six kids. My mom was a single mom, and our church took care of us.
Okay.
And we were living in a parsonage, and then when Hurricane Opal came through, it flooded that place, and we just had a random person who read about us in the newspaper who was like, hey, you've got a place in Vincent, in Vandiver. And they gave us a place, and we lived there for a few years. Then we were in Alabaster for a while, and that's, I guess, where I grew up the rest of the way. I went to Thompson, but then eventually homeschooled.
All right, and so when did music become a part of your life?
Oh, I was talking before. I was singing before I was talking.
What was you singing?
Literally everything. Because of my upbringing, a lot of church songs. There was a lot of hymns happening. Mm-hmm. A lot of Rock of Ages and Amazing Grace, that kind of stuff.
So did you grow up singing in church?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I was in the choir. I led worship. When I was in high school, some people might call this embarrassing, but quite honestly, this is one of my highest achievements in life. I was the choir president, the Briarwood Chapel Choir, in high school. I thoroughly enjoyed that. One of my biggest musical influences in life was my choir director there, Clay Campbell, who was our choir director.
Yeah. I mean, just Alabama or in the South, I mean, a lot of musicians, a lot of their first times possibly, you know, being on a stage, it is church.
It's hard to sing here and not end up at church somehow, even if you don't grow up that way. Like, somehow everybody ends up there, even if it, ends up being professionally.
Yeah. I think it's a great way to cut your teeth, because there's not going to be a lot of hard critic right there.
You know?
At least in my experience,
It depends where you are. It really depends where you are. My experience, growing up at Briarwood, even in the children's choir, honestly, there was a lot of emphasis on excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of emphasis on being exact. So for me, early on growing up in the church, there was a lot of critique, honestly.
Okay.
I do understand that that's not everybody else's example, but the on the other end of it, you know, while I'm traveling the country with my chapel choir in high school, I also had the experience of before soundcheck, my choir director's playing AC/DC on the guitar, just chilling out in the sanctuary beforehand. So there's a lot of back and forth there.
Yeah, I remember growing up, I started playing guitar when I was 15, and I hit play in the bars before I would end up in church. I grew up in church, but when my parents split, we stopped going. Then I fell back into it after I graduated high school, and it was because of music. I think I was the second person in that church, and this is a real small town in Alabama, and it's very old school to work.
Which small town?
Kennedy.
Okay. Okay.
No, you.
No. So I got you. I
got you there. It was piano organ.
Yeah.
And so a guitar. Whoa, what are we doing here? pump the brakes.
It's a little wild.
Yeah, we
Is this the Satan's music or not? Mm-hmm. Who knows?
We're about to do a little AC/DC. But it went over fairly well. Like at first, it was a little rough on the old timers, but it was like the criticism I was talking about was like, you sound good. You know,
there's a lot of good job.
Yeah,
a lot of good.
Whether you did or not,
you sound great.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were those times where you'd go for that high note and maybe you wouldn't make it.
Yeah,
but you'd come down and they'd be like, "That was so sweet. Good job. Thank you so much. That was such a testimony."
Yeah. Yeah. Touch me right here. Touch me
right here.
I'm blessed. So, what about the guitar as far as our piano? What came first as far as an instrument?
Guitar came first for me. I started playing when I was probably 15 or 16.
What brought that in?
I don't know. I don't really know.
I thought I was about to drop a Taylor Swift reference.
Oh, watch it. Careful, when we start talking about Taylor Swift, we're going to be here for a long time. I'm an unashamed Swifty. But no. When I was 15 or 16, I had more access. I wasn't in a situation where I could buy one or my mom would buy one, but I had friends who had guitars, mm-hmm. so I'd fiddle around with theirs. And then I think I got my first guitar when I was 18, like my first one that like belonged to me when I was 18. Before then I'd already written a song on guitar, just fiddling around on my friend's stuff. Never played piano. Finally in 2020 learned how to play ukulele. That's my quarantine skill.
There you go.
When I got bored, I was just like, gotta do this. Bought a little Cordova and started working on that in 2020. But yeah, guitar definitely came first.
So what did life look like for you when you was leaving high school? What was you wanting to do?
When I was leaving high school, what I wanted to do was I wanted to enlist. I wanted to be a naval corpsman. I wanted to go and serve my country and be a medical human and help people in that way. But I found out very quickly that I had some medical issues that excluded me from that. So I threw myself into just like working full time, and I did a lot of fast food management stuff mm-hmm. at that point. And then I got married a couple of weeks after I turned 20. Then I had babies. And for a while, that was it. It was being mom and wife for a while. I have 4 kids now.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are 10, 9, 6, and 4. In February, my 2 oldest will upgrade. Each, they're 1 year and 4 days apart, so I'll have an 11-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old at that point. But yeah, for a while, I just did the whole mom and wife thing,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of lost the music thing for a bit there. Before that, I was singing at church. I recorded an album that I pray to God never sees the light of day, because it's terrible, it's awful. There's maybe one song on that album that I like, that is okay for people to hear, but the rest of it's awful. I just kind of did that for a bit, and I didn't come back to music until, I guess, I'm trying to think, it's probably 2016-ish. It was between my 3rd and 4th kid, because after my 3rd one, I thought we were done.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a day where I was told I had some time, and I Googled to find an open mic, and I ended up finding DD Star's open mic at Courtyard 280,
mm-hmm.
and ended up there, and that fantastic human being welcomed me in with open arms, and he has not stopped texting me every week since to ask me if I'm going to come to open mic. So I kept coming, I kept playing, and that got me started writing again. And over the past 2.5 years or so, I've written more than 84 songs now.
Nice.
So
working on the catalog.
Yeah, I've got a lot to work with now. Some of it's good. Some of it I really love. Some of it, again, like that first album, hope it never sees the light of day.
Yeah, sure. I write a lot of songs, too. I don't know if I have that many. But I try to write something every day, even if it's a line or just something creative. And if there's nothing there, fine. But... I believe in the 10,000 hour rule.
Right.
And so, if I wrote 100 songs, odds are maybe one of them is
right?
pretty good.
Chances are one of them is going to be all right.
And so, I'm just trying to write 1,000, so maybe I'll get 10 out of that. And boom.
I like that. I like that idea.
Just as far as your creative process, how does that start for you? Is it a melody, or is it a line, or is it...
Oh goodness, it's a lot of things. Most of all, it's Interstate 65. I do a lot of writing while I'm driving. I don't know if I would ever write a song if my lovely smartphone was not capable of recording things while I'm driving.
Same.
Sometimes it's one little line. And maybe that's part of a chorus. Maybe it's the first line of the song. Who knows? Sometimes it's the melody, though. It just depends. Most of the time, it's an idea about wanting to convey a feeling. Like, for instance, the song that's going to play at the end of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
The song that played at the beginning of this episode. I switched it. Eden, Have a Good Day. That song. I have a habit of writing songs that are pretty sad, but they're in major keys, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you don't notice that they're sad. And
gotcha.
The person who pointed that out to me was One Ham Bagby. And a little bit after he pointed that out to me, I realized, wow, every song I'm writing right now is really sad. It's really depressing. There's nothing happy about it. And I was sitting there thinking one day, God, I really wish I just had something nice to write about. And while I was sitting there thinking that, I thought, you know what? You have a really good friend. Write a song about your really good friend,
mm-hmm.
and that's how that song became a thing. Was that I was tired of writing sad songs, and I wanted to write a song about somebody who was just good,
mm-hmm.
somebody who was just nice and unproblematic, and there was nothing complicated about it.
Yeah, sure. I didn't know if it was the exit Eden.
Yeah, it is the exit to Eden,
yeah.
To get to his house. That's exactly what that song's about, yeah.
There you go. Okay. Well, I know.
You know that exit now.
Yeah.
You know that exit today. You were just there.
Yeah, right. It's all full circle now.
Isn't it, though?
So, Birmingham, how long have you been in this area?
I have never left.
Right on.
I've been here forever and ever.
Just kind of moved around to different spots.
Yeah, when I was born, my family was in kind of Estavia for a little bit. Then we went to Vandiver, then we were in Alabaster, and then I've been everywhere from Hoover to now I'm technically in Calera, kind of Chelsea here and there. I'm, you know, Birmingham.
Yeah.
It's kind of all-encompassing.
Yeah, it really is. It's so just about the scene as you've gotten more involved, like playing the Nick, how did that open up for you?
That happened with, I came to open mics for a while, and then I had a friend who asked me to play an acoustic showcase, and I did that. And then after that first acoustic showcase, one day we're here at the Nick, and Danielle, who does a lot of the booking there, she was putting up the calendar, and I'm sitting outside while she's stapling it up outside, and I see that there's an open spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hey, what you got going on that day? She's like, nothing. I'm like, could I do something that day? She's like, yeah. I'm like, cool. I'm going to do something that day. And then that morphed into somehow doing a all-female writer's round.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah. So that was the very first installation of Girls Round the Nick, which has been so much fun to do. We did that in October, and then we skipped November because we had, you know, there was Thanksgiving and all that, but then we did one in December. We have one coming up on January 30th, and then another one on February 27th, and we will have one every month for the rest of this year.
How about that? So if there's a female singer-songwriter out there,
yes,
listening, contact you? Is that how that works?
Yes, please contact me. Absolutely. Contact me, and I've had some people who have contacted Danielle or just the Nick in general. But yeah, no, I want, the whole purpose of Girls Around the Nick is to create a space for female singer-songwriters who are local to Birmingham to just give them a space to both be lifted up and be highlighted, but also to give them a spot where they can come play their stuff, and not just play it, but play it and talk about it and explain their like their songwriting process, like talk about what the song's about.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. And I'm really excited about it. We have some really crazy good lineups that I wish I could talk about, but I can't talk about yet because they're not official yet, but mm-hmm. I know they're happening. We've got some cool people coming up. They're good. That are going to be really, really cool.
Yeah, and just flashback for a minute. You recently shared a bill with someone from New York.
Yes, yes.
How did that come to be?
Oh, on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, actually, I played with Rory Delazno, who is a native of New York. He runs a Instagram showcase that is called the Songwriter Showcase, and you can find that if you know, it's literally just the Songwriter's Showcase on Instagram. But I don't even remember how I found him, but I think somebody shared one of his shows with me, and I started watching it, and so I sent him a message. And he showcased me, and then he showcased two or three other people who have played at the Nick.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he did that, he sent me a message, and he was like, hey, I'm doing a tour through the South. I'd love to hit Birmingham. You want to help me get in at the Nick? And I'm like, yes, I want to get, yes, please come play at the Nick. I want to meet you. And then a few weeks later, it was like, hey, I need an opener. You want to play for me? And I was like, yes, please. That was amazing. That was so fun. Did that with John Feller Armstrong. That was a lot of fun. That was a great show.
Yeah. And it's iconic. So Kennedy, it's about an hour and a half west of here.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been going to shows Birmingham, you know, since I was old enough to drive. Mm-hmm. And the Knicks, iconic.
Right. It's legendary.
Of, like, I've never heard, like, it could be, like, a bad story, but, like, with the Knick, it's not a bad story. It just sounds like something that happened at the Knick, if that makes sense.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
And it's like, it could have been a heckler, or maybe you were the heckler.
No, so listen, today, I was setting up, I was getting ready for sound check, and I walked over, and I looked up, and I realized that my show poster from Tuesday was stapled up on the ceiling, and I about had a heart attack because it's like front and center, and I'm like, oh my God, it's there forever, it's there forever. And I started looking around, and I'm like, there's that one from when the Red Hot Chili Peppers played here. That's freaking cool.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
And so just around town, like as you're continuing to make your mark in the Birmingham scene, what are some of the other places that you played here around town?
I play a lot at Courtyard 280. I've been playing there. I've kind of had somewhat of a residency there for 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm playing there this upcoming Sunday, I think. Yeah, 4 to 7. It's an every other Sunday thing, and it's usually just me and the regulars. I've pre-COVID, I was really starting to get around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
and things kind of quieted down, and it got a little harder to find places to play, but I've played at the Southern, I've played at I don't know, a couple other restaurants around town. Not a whole lot of spots other than Courtyard and the Nick, and I have been working on recording, so I've done some stuff with Forbird Studio.
Okay.
That I'm really excited about, but other than that, not much.
Okay, so with the recordings, any idea when that might be ready?
That's a loaded question. No idea. Absolutely.
Perfect.
No idea. I do know that if you want to listen to it, you can find two things on YouTube. I've got Ball Girl and Harder Than the Whiskey are both on YouTube on Forbird Studios channel.
All right. And to open up a can of worms, let's talk about influences.
Oh, dear God. Okay.
Who are you influenced by?
Well, whenever I pick up my guitar, I am always going to play Long Ride Home by Patti Griffin.
Okay.
Period, end of story. Just, like, it's going to happen. I'm not even going to play my own stuff. I'm just going to play that. That's my forever sound check song. I love Patti. I love Brandi Carlile. I love Journey and Chicago. And I love I love Britney Spears and Taylor Swift. Like, I'm a little bit all over the place.
Yeah.
As far as, like, my sound goes, probably the closest is going to be Patti Griffin, Brandi Carlile. But lyrically, honestly, I feel like there's a lot of Taylor Swift influence there. I do a lot of writing from my own life.
Mm-hmm.
And being really just like bare it all, exposed there. I don't do a lot of hiding in my lyrics.
Was it hard to do at first when you stepped out to share it?
Oh, for sure. There's one song that I absolutely lied for like 3 or 4 years and claimed that I wrote it about book characters, and it was totally about me and my life. For sure. Yeah, no, I that's hard to do, because I mean, when I write, I no holds barred. Like, I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel when I write a song. I'm going to be more clear when I write a song than if I'm trying to talk to you about the issue.
Yeah.
So, So yeah, it has been difficult, but at the same time, I've finally come to a place in my life where, I'm okay.
Well, it's good to let it breathe, right?
Yeah, like I'm okay with I'm finally in a place where I'm okay with people knowing exactly how I feel, and if it bothers them, if it's too much for them, then okay, fine, go find less. That's okay.
All right, so people, you mentioned you've got 2 songs on YouTube. Just as far as keeping up with you on social media, where are you most active?
Most active on Facebook and Instagram. Both of those, you can find me at Anna Hope Sings, and that's AnnaHopeSings on both fronts. And they're kind of linked, so most of the time if I post something on one, you'll find it on the other. You know, who knows? We might expand from there, but that's where you can find me easiest right now.
Right on. And so look for you at the Nick and also Courtyard 280.
Look for me at the Nick. Look for me at Courtyard 280. Actually, I'm also going to be playing at Rio's in Helena coming up soon. That's going to be fun.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Well, all right. Anything else to add or subtract?
Oh, I wish I could subtract some things, but I probably can't remember what they are at this point. No, I'm good. All right. I'm great.
Well, Anna, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan.
We're out of here.
This is Anna Hope. This next song is called Enough. I hope you feel that way. I'm so tired of leaving the house at 2 a.m. Cause I can't sleep in the bed you made. Keep losing what I love without warning. Grief carries a jagged blade. These bones are never gonna heal, crumbling under all this weight. But I'm still spinning my wheels till I find my place. But I am enough. Tell myself that I. Was happy just to see my face, feeling like my own understudy. Sweater told me
myself that I am enough. Yeah, I am enough. Remind myself that
enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.